those around him. If that bubble has finally burst, and if there are unindicted co-conspirators walking into this indictment who are cooperating, Willis may well flip some of these folks who are indicted alongside Trump and be able to present a firsthand, very detailed picture of this conduct to the jury that ultimately hears the case against Donald Trump.
Chuck Rosenberg, I'm curious, the defendants have 10 days to, quote, turn themselves in. What might be different in Georgia in terms of process? What will you be looking for there? And then overall, what stands out to you in this nearly 100-page indictment?
Good news.
Yeah, well, first, I agree with Joyce, which is always a safe position. Broad and sweeping indictment and the number of unindicted co-conspirators Mika, as Joyce referred to, is telling. The other thing that's really interesting to me is that the feds took a very different approach to their election interference case. Mr. Trump was the lone defendant in the federal case in D.C. with six unindicted co-conspirators. Here he is one of 19 co-defendants with 30 unindicted co-conspirators. I don't mean to suggest that one is wrong or one is right. They both may succeed. I suspect they will. But they're very different approaches. And then to a point that Joe made, which I think is really important, lots of people are going to say lots of things about these various cases. Folks like Senator Cruz, and I don't mean to pick on him, but he sort of volunteered. What they say has no meaning. There will be four trials unless folks plead guilty. That means there'll be 48 people, four sets of juries, 12 people on each jury, who will determine whether or not these charges are valid. That's it. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be Senator Cruz. It's not going to be anyone else. We're not going to qualify for any of these juries. It's going to be 48 people in four jurisdictions who are going to decide. Prosecutors don't put words in an indictment unless they can prove it. So, assuming they can prove it, Mr. Trump is in a lot of trouble. So are a whole bunch of other people, too. That is one of the striking things about this newest indictment. The breadth and the scope, as Joyce said, the sweeping nature of the indictment, but the number of people who have been charged is utterly fascinating, complicates the case, but gives us rich detail and something to really follow in the months and perhaps years to come.
Donald Trump is largely running for president to stay out of jail. The bank shot is if he were to win the three federal cases against him, he can make go away. He can tell his attorney general to stand down. He could even try, if convicted already, to self-pardon. We'll see if that holds up in courts. But that's the theory. But this is a state case. He can't do that. He can't self-pardon. He can't make it go away. And that's why those in the Trump world that I've been talking to for months now know that if this case poses a particular danger, that the big lie, Joe, could come and get Donald Trump here in a way that it maybe can't somewhere else. And we can't emphasize this enough. The indictment paints Trump as the leader of a vast, quote, criminal organization, which knowingly and willfully joined a conspiracy to unlawfully change the outcome of the election in favor of Trump. One of the members of the conspiracy, a man once known as America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, now a part of this plot, a criminal organization for a man who once was president and wants to be again.
Well, and from what I've been told, and just a little bit of reading, and I'm sure others have seen this, but what causes even greater concern is he can't just talk to the governor. His supporters can't pressure the governor of Georgia to pardon him, because Georgia is one of only two states where the governor does not have the power to pardon. That power comes from a parole and clemency board, the Georgia State Board of Pardons and Paroles. Jonathan, his situation even more complicated in the state of Georgia. If a jury of his peers find him guilty, then it's not going to be as simple as just putting pressure on Governor Kemp politically, or having Kemp's constituents do that, because it's one of two states where a governor does not have the ability to pardon somebody who's been prosecuted.
Yeah, only ramps up the legal peril he faces. And Greg Bluestein, you're obviously the expert here on Georgia politics. Talk to us a little bit about this racketeering charge, the RICO charge, which seems so powerful and potent here. And for Donald Trump, perilous for all the reasons we just outlined. There's no easy way out for him this time around.
Yeah, that's what strikes me. This is not just a handful of indictments. These are indictments that allege a criminal enterprise involving 19 co-defendants, 41 charges, 30 unindicted co-conspirators, dozens of separate acts the prosecutors depict as a criminal conspiracy. It ranges from the high-profile cases that we've talked about for years now, including the famous, infamous phone call from Donald Trump to the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. It also includes some lesser-known issues. The folks who are accused of illegally breaching elections equipment down in Coffee County, a rural Georgia county in South Georgia. The people in charge with intimidating Ruby Freeman, a Fulton County election staffer. You know, some of these names of the suspects, of the indicted defendants we've been talking about for months, years now, Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, Mark Meadows, Donald Trump, of course, but some of them are relatively new to the stage. And that's what's so fascinating about this case.
So false statements and solicitation of high-ranking officials, state officials, they talk about Georgia, the Secretary of State, the Speaker of the House, pushing them to violate their oaths of the Georgia Constitution and the United States Constitution by unlawfully changing the outcome of the November 3rd, 2020 presidential election. Here's that phone call that everyone has heard a number of times. Today, it takes very significant meaning. Take a listen.
I only need 11,000 votes. Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break. So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state. There's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
Jonathan Lemire mentioned the harassment and intimidation that took place. That's on page 17. Also, creation and distribution of false electoral college documents. The false documents were intended to disrupt and delay the joint session of Congress on January 6, 2021, in order to unlawfully change the outcome of the presidential election in favor of Donald Trump. Similar schemes were executed by members of the enterprise in Arizona, Michigan, Nevada, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Gene Robinson, sweeping to say the least.
Absolutely sweeping, Mika. And, you know, that phone call we just played with Brad Raffensperger, we've all heard it a million times. It features in the indictment that Special Counsel Jack Smith brought. But I think it is absolutely wrong to say that Fani Willis, the Fulton County District Attorney, is just replowing ground that Jack Smith has plowed. In fact, this goes much deeper, and it's so much more granular. And it details the alleged actions not only of Donald Trump, but all those co-conspirators. And in just, again, granular detail, talks about, for example, the interference with ballots and voting machines in Coffee County, the intimidation of Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, the attempt to ruin their lives, basically. And it holds accountable not just Donald Trump, but the others who helped in what Fani Willis has alleged was a corrupt enterprise, a racketeering enterprise to steal the election and to deny millions of Georgians their vote. I think there is great worth in this indictment just for the detail it puts out there, and perhaps we don't need a similar indictment in every single state where he did this, but I'm awfully glad we have it in this one, because we see exactly how this I'm just going to call it this evil scheme worked.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's very important what
Gene, what you just said is Fannie Willis did far more than just replow the ground that Jack Smith's already replowed. Another big difference in this, Mika, is the fact that Andy McCarthy yesterday in the New York Post, yesterday afternoon before the indictments were coming down, he talked about the strengths and weaknesses of each case. Like a lot of people said, the Manhattan case seemed to be very weak. But then he said the documents case was the strongest case because it's just all there. And it's
black
something
and
like Jack Goldsmith also said in last week's just really chilling op-ed in the New York Times. Those are actions Donald Trump committed after he was president of the United States. And they've got him dead to right there. He had no right to steal the.
Let's talk about it here. Like, don't make it a thing. Yeah. Here's why I'm. And good morning. Yeah. August 15th, the year of our Lord. Boop. 2023. In case I get dementia. I never liked Trump. I never liked the response to Trump. It troubled me. Because I was someone, military child, loved America, waved the flag, all that jazz. He was antithetical to what America stands for. So, what was that thing that Malcolm X said that had white folks up in a hoot? The chickens come home to roost. In this case, they did. Here's why I'm glad by Fannie Willis. No, I ain't even gonna put it on her, even though she presented the evidence. I'm glad that grand jury in Georgia came back with an indictment. Because you gotta hold white folks accountable. If you don't, they will run amok. They already trying to. Am I sad a former president is going through this? No, I'm not. Because the only thing I'm sad about is America elected this man at one point. They ain't on me. No, it kind of is. No, my one vote would have not changed shit. But that's another story, because my one vote with other votes could have changed shit. So that's on me. My point is, today is a day where we can embrace this wicked experiment we're doing called democracy. The rule of law don't matter. What the fuck matters? And I can go on a diatribe, but that would make me seem like an old man yelling at clouds. I don't want to do that. I just want to stick to the point. I'm so, like, this indictment means more to me than any of the others. Why? Hey, Fannie Willis is a damn good prosecutor. Say what you want, she is. Point two. This is a guy here with the RICO. She reconvened the grand jury for the RICO. In one day. Point three. She charged these other motherfuckers. Point four. Unlike these conservatives, I actually believe in the Bible. And there's a saying, if you've heard it, feel free to sing along. What's done in the dark always comes to light. And this is not biblical, so may the Lord reference, all that. This part is also tied to that. Light is the best disinfectant for the truth. We gonna get the truth. Now, I don't know how Trump gonna respond. I don't care how Trump gonna respond, but I know it's not gonna be well. He is the epitome of rich, privileged, white folk. Notice I didn't say clear. Because, no, Trump ain't clear. He's orange, but come on. That's easy. Low-hanging fruit. I'm not doing that. He's fucking clear. Clearly. A sociopath. Clearly. A narcissist. Clearly. Criminal, clearly a conspiracist, clearly someone that's going to be lashing out the rest of his days until he spends the rest of his days. He's not going to go to jail. He'll get home confinement. But You can't beat four fucking goddamn cases with this much evidence. So anybody that tells me, oh, the deep state, oh, dark Brandon, oh, I don't want to hear that. If you read the indictments, particularly in this case, they got this nigga on tape committing crimes. So I don't want to hear none of that. All right, I don't want to gloat because, yeah, that's unbecoming. And I talked about Jesus and all that. But I will finish on this. If the laws don't apply to President Trump, and they don't apply to nobody, and I'm glad there's still an application of law to one of the most whitest men I've ever seen in my life. So kudos, Fannie Willis, and your team. You did the hard work, 2.5 years worth. See it through. See it through. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. One.